At the end of the service, make sure that you all get your little bookmark for the year ahead. This is the motto text that we like to begin the year with. And the motto text for this year is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is Paul's resolution. I don't know whether it was a New Year's resolution. I'm not sure what time of year Paul was writing the letter to the Corinthians. But it's a resolution. And Paul resolves here that he's not going to focus on anything apart from Jesus Christ and him crucified. Folks, it would be a good New Year's resolution for us to make. On this, the first Sunday of the new year, be a good resolution to make that we would be determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The city of Corinth was a vile, filthy city. I mean, all kinds of perversion were practiced in Corinth. We wouldn't do anything like that today, would we? We're civilized in 2018. Oh, the Western world, oh, we've come a long way since Corinth in AD 60 or whatever it was. Well, if you think that, you'd be totally wrong. Because we're every bit as bad as Corinth, maybe we're worse. You name any perversion in the book today, I guarantee it's practiced in the United Kingdom somewhere. In some dark, hidden corner. People are doing it. People are at it. And so we can make this our resolution just as Paul. People call him the great apostle. People talk about the great missionary or the great so-and-so. I'm reluctant to call anyone great because the Lord alone is great. But the apostle Paul, he makes this his resolution. He's going to focus on Jesus Christ in his preaching. And it's not just Jesus Christ, but it's Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, folks, I could stand here week by week and preach about Jesus, and the people say, oh, isn't that nice? He talked about the birth of Jesus. He talked about the life of Jesus. He talked about the teachings of Jesus. Isn't that just great? Let's all sing Kumbaya and follow the example of Jesus. That would be a disaster. You see, my responsibility and my desire throughout this year ahead is to preach Christ crucified. It's to point you to the cross. That's the only cure for your sins and my sins. The cross of Christ, the crucified Savior, is the only remedy for the vile world in which we live today. And Paul, he said, I'm determined to make a beeline for the cross. Don't know whether you ever watched Mastermind on the TV. It was on over the Christmas period, wasn't it? But you know, people who go on Mastermind, they have a specialist subject. Well, if you like, Paul had his specialist subject. I trust that every one of us this incoming year, that we want this to be our specialist subject. Not that any of us will probably ever be on Mastermind, but regardless, this is the greatest subject of all. It's the greatest subject that anyone could ever study. We've just sung that hymn, More About Jesus Would I Know. Did you sing it from your heart, or did you just sing it and go through the motions? Did you mean it? Or is Jesus Christ to you just a historical figure? You're not really interested in him. Yes, he lived, he died, preachers say he rose again. Well, that's okay, fine. Historical figure means nothing much to me. My life just goes on. I trust that's not the case with any one of us today, but that we really do mean the words that we have just sung, and that we do want to know more about Jesus. And folks, by the way, you'll never exhaust all there is to know about him. Even throughout all the countless ages of eternity, we will still be studying Jesus Christ, we'll still be learning about him, and we'll never plumb the depths, we'll never come to an end, because he is such an infinitely wonderful person. Thank God for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Christ crucified. We have it behind the pulpit. We preach Christ crucified. We don't want a bloodless gospel, folks, because a bloodless gospel is no good to anyone. A bloodless gospel is a useless gospel. Don't know whether you heard the Archbishop of Canterbury's New Year address. If you didn't hear it or read it, you didn't miss much. Nothing about Jesus. I didn't even read the name Jesus mentioned or hear the name Jesus. I definitely didn't read or hear anything about Jesus Christ being crucified, the cross of Christ. A bloodless gospel. But folks, this is what's being churned out in the Canterbury Cathedral, and it's been churned out across the land today. People are preaching behind the sacred desk, but the blood of the cross is never mentioned. How have we got to this stage? Archbishop Cranmer must be turning in his grave. I know he's in heaven with the Lord, but if you'll excuse the phrase, he must be turning in his grave today. J.C. Ryle, the first Bishop of Liverpool. Latimer and Ridley and all the rest of them. What must they think today as they look down upon the Anglican Church, the Church of England today? Folks, did you not see before Christmas that memorial service for the Grenfell Tower? All well and good. But did you not notice that Allah was praised in St. Paul's Cathedral? Those school children singing praise to Allah. How sad. How sad. It would make you want to get on your knees, wouldn't it? Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, will you please restore this nation to yourself so that from Canterbury Cathedral and St. Paul's Cathedral that they won't be singing praise to some demon false god, but that they will be singing praise to the crucified and risen Christ. Paul takes us to the cross of Christ. That's the place that every believer loves to be. As long as we live, we love just to stand there under the shadow of the cross. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. At Calvary's cross, the love of God was fully displayed. The love of God was fully displayed. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, it wasn't that the Lord Jesus had sinned. No, it was us that had sinned. We are rebels against high heaven. But it was the Lord that took the initiative. And he loved us before we had a thought of loving him. While we hated him, he loved us and he became the propitiation for our sins. That big word propitiation, it's like a fire extinguisher. It's the wrath of God is extinguished. The fire of God's wrath that we deserve, Christ took the fire on Calvary and he's put it all out. There's no more wrath left for the person who believes in Jesus. Propitiation, I love that word. There's some people run a mile, they say, oh, so that's a big word. Folks, the big words of the Bible are important. Don't neglect them. Even little children need to learn the big words of the Bible. Thank God at Calvary, the love of God was fully displayed. You know, one of the saddest things in life is to be unloved. I want to tell you today that you are loved. But this, but that, but the other thing. Oh, we can come up with 101 buts, can't we? But it doesn't change the fact the Lord loves us. The Lord loves the worst. The Lord loves the very vilest. Will you come to him today? If you've never been saved? Child of God, have you had a difficult week? Are you like the little children's talk today? You've been down. You've come into the church down about something that happened this week or something that happened yesterday, or maybe even before you come into church this morning, something happened and you feel like an absolute failure. I mean, you feel right now like the worst Christian on planet Earth. I want to tell you today that your Savior still loves you. We'll say more about that tonight. Please come and hear more about the great love of Christ for his people. So sad to be unloved, but the Lord loves all 7 billion people who populate the earth today. It's one of the saddest things in life is to be unwanted. But I want to tell you today that the Lord wants you. He wants to save you. Wants to wash you in his precious blood. That blood that is precious beyond price. He wants to take you and clean you up today. He wants to give you a reason for living. Something worth living for. Whether you're young or old. The devil's maybe saying to you right now, you're too young to be saved. Or perhaps he's saying to you right now, you're too old to be saved. You've only a short time left. But all I can say is, better late than never. Come to Christ today. At the cross, the love of God was fully displayed. I want to say secondly, at the cross, the holiness of God was fully displayed. The holiness of God displayed at the cross. Christ, who did no sin and who had no sin, he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And into the darkness and the depths and the degradation of Calvary, the Lord Jesus descends for you and for me. Can you hear his noonday cry? My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you ever feel lonely? I want to tell you today about the loneliest person who ever lived. Jesus, Emmanuel's orphan cry. Just looked out the kitchen window this morning. What did I spy but a little robin? I'm intrigued by robins. The one thing I've noticed, now if I'm wrong, please correct me. Feel free to do that, for I'm not like the Pope, I'm not infallible. But the one thing I've noticed, That little robins seem to be always on their own. Do you ever notice that? Oh, there's other birds, and they just come in swarms to the little bird feeder in the garden. And, you know, one comes, and before you know it, there's 100. But the little robin's there on his own. And that little bird is so easily scared away. Couldn't help but think, as I looked at the little robin, couldn't help but think about the cross. Think about the one who hung all alone for me. forsaken by man, but wonder of wonders, forsaken by God. Martin Luther went into his study one day to study that great text. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He came out and he said, I just can't get my head around it. God forsaken by God. It's awesome, folks. But it tells us that God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Whole earth is full of his glory. If you're not a believer, I wouldn't like to be in your shoes when you stand before this holy God. The love of God was fully displayed at the cross. The holiness of God was fully displayed at the cross. Let me finish. The wrath of God was fully displayed at the cross. The wrath of God. Because a holy God hates sin, his face was hid. Because a fair God punishes sin, his wrath fell on Christ. We have that great text of Scripture, Zechariah 13 and verse 7. Zechariah 13, verse 7. You thought Christ crucified was a New Testament thing. You've got it wrong. Chapter 13 of Zechariah, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Christ was pierced by the sword of divine wrath. Why? So that you would never experience that. Because the most awful experience in the universe is for a person to experience the wrath of God. It doesn't get any worse than that. Jesus knows that. And he doesn't want you to ever know what that's like. That's why he came between you and me and the wrath of God. He stood in between. He took the fall. Come to Golgotha and feel the earth tremble beneath the mighty load of outpoured wrath. See the dreadful anger of a God who avenges sin. Do you want proof that there is a day of judgment for sin and for sinners? Come to the cross. Do you want proof that if you die without Christ, you will go to hell? Come to the cross. For if God spared not Christ when our sin was laid upon him, what hope is there that he will spare you when you stand before him with your sin still upon you? Our closing hymn is 628, number 628. We'll just have the opening and closing verses of 628. Drawn to the cross which thou hast blessed with healing gifts for souls distressed, to find in thee my life, my rest, Christ crucified, I come. Let's stand, 628.